Welcome, 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 welcome. You are most welcome to the Dreamer Girl podcast. My name is Gbemisola. I am your host and I am so grateful that you tuned in. This is going to be lit.
Hi guys, welcome to the Dreamer Girl podcast. As always, I'm so thankful that you tuned in. This is episode 57, week 9 of 52. First of all, how are you doing? How was your week last week? How did you grow this past week? I hope that you learned something this week. I hope that you apply the concept we spoke about last week. So I spoke about asking for help and asking questions. So I hope that you apply those concepts. I hope that you engaged with those ideas during the course of your week. I hope that you asked yourself questions about your thought patterns, about the people in your inner circle. I hope that you evaluated the assumptions that you were living your life based on and so forth. I really just hope that you lived intentionally this past week, to be honest. I hope that you didn't just go through the motions, that you know what happened last week. I had a good week. I got to celebrate a friend, and listening to other people just share their thoughts and their opinions about her really was a sweet reminder of the fact that you are leaving clues, right? You're leaving an impact. Not clues, you're leaving an impact on those around you. You're either affecting people positively or negatively. She lives such a beautiful life, and it was obvious in all the comments that was shared about her, and it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful to see. And so it's important to be aware, you know, that you're leaving an impact, and to constantly evaluate if that impact is consistent with the things that you say that you believe the most in, because your life is such a powerful testimony of the things that you say that you believe in, whether you see those in real life or not, you know, whether you actually believe them in practice or they're just words that you say. So that was great to see. Another thing that stood out as we were celebrating her was just the beauty in celebrating other people. And I think that we need to become tireless, loud, glad celebrators of others. We need to be people that celebrate people gladly and loudly and just extravagantly. Like, we just do it with so much joy, because it's so easy to get caught up in this crab mentality that, you know, put other people down. I know that growing up, if there was a first position, it meant that somebody came second, right? If there was the first position, it meant somebody was third, somebody was last. And we can get into this cycle, this place of where we just think in relative terms, like everything is relative to how I'm doing. So if you're in a room and somebody gives somebody else a compliment, like, oh my God, you look so pretty, it can be so easy to get into this place where you now go, so do I look prettier or less pretty? Like, why wasn't the compliment to me? When it's not even about you. Like, if somebody has some form of success or somebody has this achievement, it's not about you. Like, we don't need to always go to this place where we immediately start thinking, how do I level up to that? Or how does this make me look? Or where does this place me? Because it's not always about you like that. And there's so many forms of beauty. There's so many expressions of success that somebody's success doesn't affect yours. And I think just getting to this place that God is great, like, there's so much abundance out there, that somebody's greatness doesn't mean your own downfall, right? That we can get to this place where we can shine the light on somebody without feeling like we're dimming our own light, because that's the only healthy way to live, to be honest, right? If you constantly feel like the greatness of somebody is a hit on your own self-esteem, is a blow to your own greatness, you can't go very far and people won't like being around you. I'm just saying. And so that was great. Also this week, I was reminded of the power of a predetermined response and a preset commitment. So there was one of those days this week where there was something on my schedule that I really wasn't in the mood to do. It was a commitment I had made, but I was just not in the mental space. Well, don't let me blame it on the mental space, honestly, because I feel like there are real mental, like, issues, and there are times where it's just laziness. It's just fear that just wants to hold you down, things that you should actually step up against rather than just seek help for. And so knowing the difference there, so that you don't become a victim of feelings that you can fight off, you know. And so, and again, there are different levels to this. There are medical conditions and things like that, so know that. But don't use mental health as a band-aid for laziness. And I think that's something that we must be honest about, like something I have had to be honest about in my life. And so one of those days this week, I was having one of those moments, and there was this commitment that I really wanted to get out of. So it was one of those situations where I could have made a mountain out of a molehill. Like, I could have found an escape. Not lie, don't lie, children of God should not lie, you know, but just like really found a way to get myself out of it. And I just decided that, you know what, we're going to do it. We made a commitment. Let's just power through. And it was really great, to be honest. The first part was I was really grateful for how much I had grown and just being able to like be disciplined to honor a commitment, because you should honor your commitment, right? There was also the joy of just being around people safely. And then the third part of that was actually remembering the joy in the activity, like why the activity had landed on my schedule in the first place. And in moments where you're feeling down or lazy, it can be easy to forget the beauty of the activity and why it's on your schedule in the first place. And you can just say, I just want to retreat. I don't want to do anything. But remembering that, you know, just going through can reintroduce you to the joy in that thing, can help you find your spark again, can help you find your groove again. And so that was just important to see. And it reminded me of growing up with my mom. Going to church was non-negotiable, no matter what, whether it was pain, exam tomorrow, I'm not feeling fine, whatever, because God has the answer to everything. Jesus is the answer. So if you are feeling sick, when you get to church, you'll feel better. If you have an exam tomorrow, God will tell you what to read. Like, this is a commitment. We've made it. And honestly, growing up, at some points, it was very frustrating. But I'm so grateful, because that laid the foundation of my faith. And it put me in the place where I was being exposed to what has now become the guiding principle of my life, right? I was being exposed to content about God and Jesus. And that was really powerful. But it just shows you how that preset commitment, when in the moment it can seem really hard to follow through, but it can be very life-changing when you have that compounding over time. So those were the main things that really stood out to me this past week. And so when I say how are you at the start of the episode, I'm hoping that you have answers like that. Not the same answers, definitely, but just the fact that you've evaluated the week, that you journaled enough to be able to know, okay, this is what really stood out to me this past week, this is what really happened this past week. And yes, so I hope that you have those answers as well. This week on the podcast, I want to talk about the recap, actually, just some points from the Valentine's Day episode, because typically on every episode, I try to start with a recap of the previous episode. And I realized I didn't do that last week. Maybe I was too excited to talk about asking questions and asking for help. But the previous episode was the Valentine's Day episode, and it was about love and relationships. And I ended that episode saying that because marriage is not a criterion for wholeness, you don't have to settle, right? It's not a prerequisite for wholeness, so you don't have to settle. And I said that on the podcast itself, like the podcast episode, not on Instagram. It wasn't the Instagram clip, because previously I didn't like upload the full clip. And maybe I'll change that going forward. But if you want, like a plug, if you want to just listen to the whole episode, it's definitely going to be on the podcast. If you want to not be distracted by the video, or you want to save your data, go and listen to the podcast itself on at dreamergirl.buzzsprout.com. But I ended that episode saying that because marriage is not a criterion for wholeness, you don't have to settle. And I stand by that. I truly believe that when you realize that, like I did for myself, that, you know, wholeness comes from this knowledge of God, and just like, this is life eternal, right? And just knowing yourself and knowing your purpose in God, there's such freedom and wholeness that you don't need anything external to really buff you up and pull you up. And as I said that though, and as I stand by that, I realized that it's not the easiest perspective to have, right? Because the truth of the situation for most of us is that there's pressure like outside of us about marriage and having a family, and maybe your feminist friends, or maybe all the feminists in the world, and then your friends that maybe are married and they have young children, and they're like, stay single, it's the best thing ever. Or they're just not married like you, and they're like, you know, yes, baby, that's great, I understand that. But many of us, like our closest family members, like your aunties, your uncles, your parents, there's this concern, you know, early as a lady, by the time you hit your early 20s, your mid-20s, late 20s, the alarms are already going off, everybody's like blaring, Shiloh prayer point, all of that. And the pressure is real, right? The pressure is real, but we cannot say because of that pressure that this is not the truth, right? The pressure doesn't negate the fact that this is the truth. And honestly, even dealing with that pressure, I understand, like, I'm going to this place where I really don't like strike out concerns just like flippantly and just say they need to come into the 21st century, they need to get over it, like we've moved on, this is a different era. I don't really do that, because first of all, like I honor people that are older, and I really respect their opinions. And I feel like for many things, there's true concern under all that pressure. There's true concern, because sometimes you hear what like these aunties say, right? You hear what your mom says or your dad says. And it's this idea of, as for a lady, for example, you had this concern of they want you to have a covering in the world, right? They want you to be provided for and protected. And you have to understand, like, maybe historically or like before, and maybe even till now, that the way society was set up, women couldn't earn certain amounts of money. They couldn't be in certain roles. They really couldn't provide certain things for themselves. And so they needed the man to sort of provide that. And so if you have older parents, for example, they want to know that you will be taken care of if they're not around. And so you hear that concern as, you know, you need a husband, you need a husband. And of course, times have changed. Like, women are doing great things. We're earning a lot of money. And so maybe it's not just provision anymore. But that covering thing still, I think it still holds true, because I've had conversations with ladies that are really successful, and they'll tell you how, you know, having a wedding band changes the way you're received. Like, having a missus next to your name changes the respect you have. And you've probably been in the same setting before where you had a friend and then she got married and had maybe one child and she started feeling like an elder, because there's this premium placed on marriage and premium placed on being married. And so it's concern, like, they understand the way society is set up. And so when they come with that, you need to be married, you need to be married, you need to be married, they know where they're coming from. There's also this concern, this is one that actually gets on my nerves, like, depending on the day you meet me and how you spin this concern, we can have a very interesting conversation. You know, when they say, you know, you don't want to get too successful that they will not be able to approach you. Because I just feel that, first of all, like, I've seen young, and it's like the Ivy League example, I've seen young children, like, not children, but like 15-year-old, 16-year-old, 18-year-old children, or yeah, 18-year-old teenagers. It's like our own before they come for me. I've seen them, like, really invest themselves in something, right? They, you know, you see this child, this teenagers really craving this Ivy League admission, and you see them commit to working in their community, commit to sport activities, commit to having good grades, writing these excellent essays. You see this much work to get this thing they consider to be valuable, that they consider to be awesome for whatever reasons. And so you're telling me that a full-grown man or a grown man cannot see a woman he admires or thinks is a spec and put in the needed work to match or exceed and be able to step up to the plate? I think that, first of all, in some sense, like, it's actually disrespectful to men. I think so. They think that they're disrespecting women, but I think it's disrespectful to men because they're saying that they don't have the capacity to step into such a role. But I just don't think it holds. Then there's also, in thinking about that, there's also the side of, I think it's not having integrity. Like, if you expect ladies to dim their light to attract a mate, or even vice, even for the men too, like, if we're supposed to hide certain parts of ourselves that we don't expect to change, right? They're not even negative things anyway, but we're supposed to hide these things to attract a mate. And then what happens when we get married to them? Like, do we just, like, unleash who we actually are? And what kind of cruelty is that? Like, if you cannot be honest with the person that's supposed to know you the most in the world, what kind of world are we building? Who can we then trust, you know? And you just think about that, and you realize that it's not a sound way to start a relationship, to build anything. And so I just think that doesn't have integrity at all. But then another concern I have with that is, so let's say you do that, and I've actually heard people say things like, oh, I knew from the very start that it would not work. I knew from the very start that this will not work, or this is not going to last. And I'm like, particularly in the culture like I grew up in, right? You don't come out of a marriage. Like, you're stuck. You enter and that's it. And you hear people that they believe they're going to live a very long life. They're trying to get married as early as possible. And so you're getting married in your mid-20s or early 20s. You don't expect to die anytime soon. You're in this culture that says you stay married. And so if you knew from the very start that it was not going to work, what was the plan? Like, how did you think this thing was going to work out? That for 70 years, 90 years, were you supposed to just be shrinking? Or were you supposed to just be fighting? And just think that we need to change our perspective on these things. So going back to that second concern that I have an issue with, the third way I think about that is, so marriage, there's a calling, like the calling of a wife, right? And I used to read about this a lot in the past, and I constantly still, like, study and learn because I really want to learn these things. But there's the submission part, right? It's like you are coming under. There's a sacrifice to that. It's not always cool. We can understand that there's protection in submission, there's covering in submission, there's that in submission, but it's still sacrifice. It's still hard. And so if you pretend, in quote, and dim your light to attract a mate, when you get into the marriage, if you are in Christendom, let me put that in actually, in like in the faith and what we believe about marriage in the faith. When you get into that marriage, you have to maintain that, because if that's what the man wants, right, the spouse wants, then that's what you need to do. Or you can say, no, I'm not about that life. That's not what I want. And then you can just have these arguments going back and forth. And so I just feel like no matter how you examine that particular concern, I don't think it holds water. I don't really like it. But a version of it that I don't have too much of a problem with is when they say, if you become too successful, you will not put your face to the ground. Like, you will not... I thought about that in Yoruba. I can't remember the actual thing in Yoruba, but I hope it translates. The fact that you can get so used to this rhythm that works for you. You can find your pattern. You can find your routine. You're successful. Maybe you're able to travel anytime you want, because no one can deny the flexibility in singleness. There's nothing like, yes, nobody can define, deny the flexibility in singleness. The fact that you're able to just get up and go, you know, nobody can deny that. And of course, there are exceptions to every rule. So there are people that, even though they're single, they're primary caregivers for other family members. So it's different. But generally, there's this flexibility. And so the fear is that you can get into this routine that works for you, and it makes it harder to do the submission thing. Or as a guy, even just regardless of whether you're the man or the woman, actually, there's a lot of sacrifice in fitting your life to with somebody else's. And so when, you know, concerned aunties, concerned uncles, concerned parents say things like that, it's like, we don't want you to get so in your routine, in your rhythm, that this is no more a priority. And like I always say, some people do not want to be married. Like, they don't. And I think it's okay. There's space for you in the word of God that shows that you are not sinning by not being married. And so if you are that person, you will never have the moment where you look up and say, oh snap, I have everything I thought I wanted, but something is missing. Because a lot of parents, like I was saying earlier, and concerned relatives, or even friends, concerned friends, they are scared for you that at some point you realize that all this your achievements, all this your money that you've made is not enough, that you want children, you want. But if you actually call to singleness, maybe you have moments of loneliness and so on and so forth. No, maybe you have moments of loneliness, but it won't last that long, because you know your calling isn't in that space. But if you're actually called to marry, or if you actually desire to be married and you want to be married, the fear is that you will find this your rhythm, you will find this your routine, and then one day you will look up and think something is missing. And why am I actually talking about these concerns, actually? Because that wasn't the intention with this episode. But anyway, so that all those concerns, I guess what all of that was to say was all those concerns, many of them, minus the second one, that you have to qualify for me to accept it. But many of these concerns are legitimate. And so when I say something like, marriage is not a criterion for wholeness, coming from those concerns, coming from that pressure, it can be something that you take mentally but never apply in your heart. And so all of what I've been saying in this episode is to say, I get it. I understand the pressure. I understand those concerns. And I feel like the older I get, the more I understand those pressures. But they do not eliminate the truth that you do not want to look for a mate desperate. You don't want to look for a person, and that also goes back to their concern about finally looking up and realizing that something is missing. You say, if you are 30, you'll be desperate. If you are 35, you'll be desperate. So marry quickly now. My point is, those concerns may be valid, but it's still not worth just settling. Like, you do not want to settle for mediocrity so that you're not alone. A mediocre man is someone that says, all men cheat. Don't settle for that kind of person. Never. You know, a mediocre person, even there are mediocre women. Like, I won't even lie. We can all be mediocre. Like, this is a journey that you're growing. You are ensuring that you're not settling for mediocrity, that you're growing, you're expanding your values, all those things. But don't settle. Okay? Don't settle. That's the point of this episode. And that's what it's taking me about 20 minutes to say. And I'll probably pick this up next week. But do not settle. And there's this verse in Proverbs that I really like. So it says, when your soul is full, you turn down even the sweetest honey. But when your soul is starving, every bitter thing becomes sweet. A sentence like marriage is not a criterion for wholeness is to get to a place where you actually find the things that fill your soul up, so you don't just settle for anything. You don't just settle for anyone. You can read, there's so much content out there about having a list or not having a list, what should be on your list, what should not be on your list. You decide, right? According to the word of God or whatever things that you base your life on, you decide what your principles and your thoughts and your perspectives on these issues are, and then stick with those and don't settle. Like I always say, if you've not gone to the point that physical attraction is not important to you, in quotes, I don't know if anybody ever goes to that point completely, but if it's a priority for you and you're not attracted to somebody physically and you're trying to convince yourself, maybe you can scale and understand each other mentally. But like, we've had so many of these adultery here, adultery there, cheating here, cheating there, and there are many reasons. Okay, it's not just that, but there's marrying your spec, so that when your spec is working bad, you're not frustrated that you're with this one that is not your spec. How am I saying? Anyway, I think you get where I'm going with this. And to prevent rambling further, I don't think I've rambled actually. I think I've actually gotten across things I actually want to say, but I will continue this episode. If I guess too long, I'm just gonna cut it here. Sorry for this for this sort of rambling ending, because I tried to watch the time, but I sort of missed the time on this episode. But yeah, this has been Wim Sola Juma Girl Podcasts. Now let me end this properly. We will continue on this next week, but right now what I'm saying is, think about all those concerns. Even with all those concerns, do not settle for mediocre, because you're fine. You can be fine without being married. So there's no rush in a sense. There's no pressure in a sense, like in the actual sense of the word, minus external conditions. There's no real reason to settle just to be married. Wow, what a stance. Well, this has been on the Dreamer Girl Podcast. As always, I'm so thankful that you tuned in. Till next week, keep going after your dreams. Love the life you have. Build the life you want. We're going to pick up on this. We're going to pick up on this so I can end this correctly. Bye, guys.